This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about asking for help. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Kelly Dunham loves helping others. It's a big part of her life. In her 20s, she wanted to become a nun to serve the poor, until she realized that convent life with its strict rules was not for her. Instead, she became a nurse. But she's really bad at asking for help herself, even though she's been through some tough times in her life. She's also doing stand-up comedy, and she's made this topic of asking for help part of her new show, Second Helping. Reporter Justin Cramon was intrigued by Kelly's routine, and he decided to set up a challenge for her.
Kelly Dunham started thinking about the challenges of accepting help almost 20 years ago, during a gig performing comedy at a conference. She was walking to her show, holding a bunch of handouts, and she tripped. The handouts went flying.
And people were attempting to hand them back to me, and I was shooing everybody away because I did not need help.
On stage recently, performing her new show, Second Helping, she described what happened next.
And then, all of a sudden, like something out of a romantic comedy, this beautiful tall woman appeared in front of me wearing black tights and an orange flowered skirt.
The woman was Heather McAllister.
And she ignored my protestations that I didn't need assistance, and she picked up the papers, handed them to me, and said, "Let people help you. People like to help."
That real-life meet-cute was the start of Kelly and Heather's romantic relationship. But what Kelly talks about next in her show is surprising material for a comedy routine. Heather got sick, really sick. She had terminal ovarian cancer. And Kelly, the nurse and ex-nun, jumped headfirst into caregiving.
If somebody you love is dying and they have logistical needs that can be met by somebody with your skill set, what other choice is there?
Kelly moved in with Heather, started doing the household chores, organized doctor's appointments, sat up with her all night through harrowing pain crises. In fact, Kelly took on so much of the burden of Heather's illness that even Heather started to worry. Kelly remembers one night.
She woke me out of a complete sound sleep. She was like, "Promise me you'll accept help. Promise me you'll accept help."
Kelly agreed. She let Heather's friends pitch in with the caregiving. And they grieved together when Heather ultimately passed away. I was struck by how skillfully Kelly mined those dark moments in her life. And then got the audience laughing, sometimes seconds later. I was also intrigued by the fact that this whole show is about asking for help. Yet Kelly admits she's still not good at accepting help. She's always been a self-sufficient person. She likes to be the helper, not the helpee. Recently, she had a knee infection that got so bad she could have died from sepsis simply because she didn't want to ask for help getting down the stairs. I was curious how that whole struggle was going, which is why I decided to ask Kelly if she'd be up for a challenge. I called her, explained my idea, and remarkably, she did not hang up. In fact, she said she'd do it. Here's the gist. We're going to Times Square in New York City. She's going to approach complete strangers. She'll explain she has a performance of her show coming up that people can watch online. And she'll ask these people if they can help her, Kelly, by calling one person they know and telling them about the show. Kelly can't go home until at least one person makes the call. And the lesson she hopes to learn in this exercise?
What it's like to make an intentional choice to ask for help, and what that physically and emotionally does to me, and what it opens up in me. And can we all get better at it?
So we're all set to do this. Kelly and I have arranged a time and a meeting place. I'm looking forward to it. But a couple days before, Kelly leaves me a voicemail.
I actually woke up in the middle of the night last night, worried about stopping strangers and asking them for help. Why did I write a show about learning how to accept help when I'm so terrible about it myself? I swear, my next show is just going to be about petting cats.
Needless to say, the message concerns me a little. I head to New York, not really sure what will happen. So I'm on 43rd Street, Manhattan right now, and I'm meeting Kelly Dunham in a park. And The idea of stopping somebody and saying, can you take time out of what you're doing and prioritize me for a second? I mean, I'm like sweating thinking about it. We find each other in the park as some bagpipe music starts up.
Hey.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, good.
And with that rousing music spurring us on, we head to Times Square. As we enter the neon and tourist-filled chaos of 42nd Street, Kelly tries to bargain down what we agreed to.
Probably there's an upper limit. Like, if we talk to 50 people, can we just say we tried?
If that was Kelly's attempt to get me to back off the pressure, no dice. But before she can tamper with the rules again, we find our first subjects.
So what about these two women right here sharing something on their phone?
Let's do it.
Can I interrupt you all for a second? Okay. So my name's Kelly Dunham. I'm a comedian. I'm from the Midwest U.S. Where are you guys from?
She starts out like she's working a crowd at a comedy club. Kelly gets into hometowns, weather, the traffic in New York. I'm wondering whether she'll wind her way around to the point when at last she makes her move.
So this is the ask. Do you have anyone in your life that has a hard time asking for help? My parents, I've always said, like, they were very formidable people. My dad,
and then she veers off course again. It's just super hard for her to ask. Finally, she gets to the question.
That you could, like, call and tell them about the show. Do you have anyone in your life like that?
The women are very polite. They talk to us about their own struggles with asking for help. Then they say no.
Tell her about the show.
Okay. All right, okay.
Kelly still seems positive after this first attempt.
It was really nice that they talked to us about it, and I...
But as we get a few more no's, she starts to get a little more strategic about approaching people.
That's a teenager fighting with their parent. I don't think we want to ask them. Yeah, the longer I stand here, the harder it's going to get. So, yeah.
I have to agree. But she keeps on, and we do have some good conversations. Like with a guy named Ben Mark, visiting from Idaho.
My grandpa, who passed away, he was bad at asking for help. So he's from Mexico. And they have that stigma where, like, you know, men shouldn't ask for help. But, you know, as my mom told me, you know, she's like, hey, don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it.
Really?
Yeah.
Kelly starts to discover that younger people have less difficulty asking for help, that it's more socially acceptable, as Melissa from San Diego observes.
Like, I notice it's really generational, for sure. Like, for sure.
Eventually, we find ourselves sitting with two middle-aged women, Sue Bowler and Patsy Eckel, who are enjoying a glass of wine in the sun. Kelly seems a little tired, but she pushes forward, she makes her pitch, and then the big ask.
So do you have anybody, and he will let me go home if you will call somebody, do you have anybody you could call and tell them about this show? Because there's a
and
virtual
then,
show. And
then, like, magically, Patsy takes out her phone. Kelly and I have to suppress our excitement.
Should we call Donna?
Let's call Donna.
Let's call Donna.
Donna is Patsy's sister. Patsy puts her on speaker and asks Kelly to explain the situation.
Hey, Donna. how you doing? My name is Kelly Dunham. I'm a comedian in New York City. Apparently, your sister thinks that sometimes you struggle with asking for help. Do you also?
It's a little awkward at first, but Kelly is charming as always. And ultimately, Donna acknowledges.
Yeah, absolutely. I never want to ask coworkers for help. And yeah, it's good to be independent and not need help.
But, like, we all do need help sometimes, you know.
Yeah, we do. I know.
Kelly tells her about the show, gives Donna some free tickets, and we say goodbye.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing. And even though it's an experiment and, it, you know, doesn't really matter if anybody made the phone call, like, it felt very precious, you know, in that way of, like, oh my God, she's going to do it, you know.
Later, Kelly and I listened back to some of the encounters she had.
I feel like I'm watching an SNL sketch of somebody who doesn't know how to ask for help pitch other people about asking for help.
But wandering through that giant crowd and forcing herself to ask strangers for help has revealed some bigger insights for Kelly.
Acting like we don't need help is denying our essential humanness. We live in big groups of people because we need each other, you know? But we've somehow developed this idea that we're all separate.
As we chatted, Kelly kept mentioning community, how helping and accepting help makes you part of a group, It reminded me of one of the most powerful scenes in Kelly's show, when she describes her partner Heather's decline.
The chemo stopped working. Early in January, I called her from the grocery store and asked her if I could bring her anything. She thought for a minute and said, "How about 3/4 of a pound of the will to live?" I was like, "Oh, honey, I'm at Trader Joe's and you know how they are."
Wanting to take control of her death, Heather chose a medically assisted suicide, which is legal in Oregon. She wanted all her friends around.
And so 3/4 of queer Portland was at our house. Heather took each of us behind the curtain onto her bed for a private goodbye.
Kelly, the nurse, had to give Heather the medication, mixed up in chocolate pudding.
She ate it. She died. And even though every moment of that day had been planned, I was still so surprised by how gone she felt and by how alone I felt.
It struck me that maybe this is the essence of the help issue, that aloneness we're all fighting. That maybe the loneliness of losing Heather is what Kelly really wants to get away from. I brought this idea back to her during a phone conversation a few weeks after our Times Square experiment. I'm wondering if there's a part of asking for help and accepting help, teaching people how to do that, that helps you get away from how alone you felt in that terrible moment.
The whole time, right, that she was dying, she used to say, "You know, you can do all the laundry. Every single piece of clothing can be clean, and I'm still going to die. You know, you're not keeping me alive by doing the laundry." So there was always something that I could do for her. And then at that moment, there was nothing more I could do. And I had assumed that I would feel some sense of completion when she died. But I never felt that.
And even though there was nothing left that Kelly could do for Heather then, it seems this mission of encouraging people to give and receive help, this is what Kelly can do for Heather now, and for herself, and for anyone who's willing to listen.
That story was reported by Justin Cramon.